If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Horrifying song by Dylan Mulvaney.
Katie brought it to us and said we'd love to hate it, and you're right, but I'm torn on whether we should play it or not, because I hate giving this person any more of a platform on any level. Yeah, Dylan Mulvaney, you've done a good job of eking out as much attention on Earth as you could get. I mean, really, pretty exemplary job of getting a lot of attention.
My take on it is you have a mentally ill young man presenting a cartoonish version of womanhood that's merely insulting to the intelligence.
That whole
Katie, any thoughts representing the fairer sex?
Just listening to this, though, I think about the song itself. I'm giving him no credit, but the song itself has a catchy tune, right?
Yeah.
And I'm picturing, you know, kids listening to this, some 13-year-old girl listening to this song, Monday can't get out of bed, Tuesday morning pick up my meds, Wednesday retail therapy, Thursday had a walk of shame, didn't even know his name. Like, what picture are you painting?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's got a catchy tune that kids would like.
Yeah.
Yeah, with pretty abhorrent to lifestyle lyrics. There's no doubt about that.
Groomer. Hello, groomer. Never mind boomer. It's about groomers. Speaking of which, New York Magazine, infamously left, has perhaps the worst article ever to grace the cover of any magazine. Freedom of Sex, The Moral Case for Letting Trans Kids Change Their Bodies by Andrea Long Chu. A number of people have read and criticized it in a number of ways, and they are all correct. I will turn to perhaps my favorite writer, Matt Taibbi, these days. I'm pretty good at my job. I'm pretty proud of it. But he's a hell of a better writer than I could ever be, and so I am going to quote him. It makes the Unabomber Manifesto read like a Shakespeare sonnet. Here's the money passage. We must be prepared to defend the idea that in principle, everyone should have access to sex-changing medical care, regardless of age, gender identity, social environment, or psychiatric history. A lot of the piece is standard woe is me, F everything cartoon nihilism you'd hear from any laptop class liberal arts product, arguing for a generalized smashing of the patriarchy, among other things by attacking the biological conspiracy to produce those units of material labor known as babies. Complete abolition of norms would be an impossible task, but that doesn't preclude their collective reimagining of blah, 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 intersectional this, that, and the other. And then Taibbi cleverly has a pop quiz. He has three sets of two quotes. In each case, one of them is from Chew's New York piece, Pro Sex Change for Children, and the other's from the 2008 NAMBLA essay, A Call for Social Justice. Now, NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, exists to legalize child rape. And indeed, in these three sets of quotes, you really can't tell which is which. And then he says, so am I comparing pedophile writing to trans advocacy? I am a little. The kids have a right to the hazards of their own free will. That's a quote. Idea and Choose essay and the NAMBLA-endorsed children's liberation concept aren't exactly miles apart, but that's not even the point. No serious person bothers reading past the headlines of NAMBLA essays because we know no matter how flowery the rhetoric, the end game is a stranger jonesing to bugger your 13-year-old.
Ooh.
That's well put. Yeah, you can phrase your arguments any way you want. Make them as flowery as you want. We know what you're after. Taibbi continues, as anyone who's raised children knows, leaving kids to the hazards of their own free will is a completely unworkable concept, apart from its outrageousness and moral insanity. The editors of New York should have reached the sorry, that's just effing stupid stage one paragraph in. The American intellectual mainstream is now so infected by cowardice before academic shibboleths that it kowtows to ideas the average kindergarten teacher would flunk without a thought. That's so good. And it reminds me of Thomas Sowell's great saying, there's some ideas so stupid only an intellectual could hold them. And then in the style of Taibbi, he goes on for paragraph after paragraph about how utterly horrible it is to have kids who are still in the blowing up frog stages of their development, as he puts it, completely in charge of their own medical, I almost use the term care, sex change surgeries. It's unthinkably stupid.
And where did that book or article or whatever it is show up?
New York Magazine. It's the cover article.
Wow, the cover article.
It's wow. All in service of a goofball Marxian utopia students used to leave behind by freshman year, but is now an article of faith even among the tenured.
God, that's unbelievable. They put that on the cover.
I'm pretty sure this article's paywalled. We'll see if we can post it. I subscribe to Taibbi. He's brilliant. I wish I could read the whole thing, but I'm going to skip to the very end and then Jack comment like crazy if you like. Enough with the whispering. If someone wants to chop his Richard off and graze in the pastures of allyship, we should take their word that's a happy choice and treat that person like any other writer capable of publishing something that sucks. And this article really sucks. Do we have to salute every dumb thing America's intellectuals send up the flagpole? Is the smart set's cowardice really going to go on forever? Amen isn't strong enough. Hallelujah, Matt.
And he's a lefty. I mean, he is a lefty, but he's what liberals used to be.
Well, he's sane.
Not a crazy person.
Yeah, he advocates different policies than I think the government ought to pursue. But that doesn't mean he thinks confused adolescent girls should have their breasts chopped off because of a momentary fear of puberty.
Well, well, ultimately, that's the point, I guess. But also, as a journalist, just why are our elite outlets for journalism treating an article like that with any seriousness or giving it a platform? Why? Because they feel like they have to serve some weird university graduate school sect of society? What the hell?
Yeah, I think you're right. Both you and Taibbi are expressing the same thing, that there's this, it's the Mount Olympus of thought are our elite universities, and whatever the gods issue forth, should be treated as the pronouncements of, you know, almighty, you know, characters. And you can't question them. All you can do is amplify them. No matter how lunatic they are. I'm reminded of Voltaire's great saying that those who can make you repeat inanities can make you commit atrocities. Because you have surrendered your judgment of what is true, of what is good, of what is evil to them. If you believe, if you repeat the insanity that man over there with a dress is a woman. If you can make me repeat that, you have taken from me my agency, and you can then, you know, cause me to commit atrocities. Where's that? I love this. The editors of New York, to your thought, Jack, the editors of New York should have reached the, sorry, that's just effing stupid stage, one paragraph in.
Right. But they're cowards, as he says, and feel like they need to represent that point of view because so many people believe it. Certainly all my smart friends do.
Well yeah, they're mindless cultists. The intellectuals have told them this is truth, so they say, yes, it's true. It's remarkable. And it's also, you know, I'm not going to go all Chairman Mao here on you and drag the teachers out in the streets and beat them down, especially because there are a lot of great conservative teachers who are desperate to stop this stuff. But if you were to look at the pyramid of who believes this stuff, and who's promulgating it, who's sexualizing the children, it's your intellectual elite at the top of the pyramid. Working folks, reasonable folks, folks who deal with reality, don't believe this crap at all. Which is why, for all of its flaws, the Republican Party is welcoming so many Hispanic families into its open arms, for instance.
Well,
and black folks, too, increasingly.
The magazine or what a website or whatever that put that on their cover, it's a more intellectual version of Bud Light hiring Dylan Mulvaney to be a spokesman. With her Monday morning stayed in bed, Tuesday morning grab my meds, Wednesday retail therapy, Thursday walk of shame, didn't even know his name. I know people right now who live that lifestyle. They are not happy people, and they're not headed anywhere good.
No, they're miserable people headed toward an early grave. And it's sad. Just one more stupid argument that this Chew person, who I believe may have had his penis removed and is trying to come off as a woman now.
How?
There's some sort of transsexual thing, which, again, as an adult, is none of my business. I feel for you. I feel sorry for you. But anyway, making the argument that the only reason parents would not want their kids to have powerful hormones and surgeries rendering them infertile for the rest of their lives is because the patriarchy demands that they keep producing babies. It's not that you love your child and don't want them to make a horrible life-altering decision. This person is seriously, dangerously delusional and is on the cover of New York Magazine.
That is something.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We're out of time. That was only supposed to be half of what I was going to talk about. Here's reason for hope, though. A couple of reasons. First of all, a guy like Matt Taibbi writing that brilliantly and persuasively. Michael Schellenberger and Alex Gutentag wrote a piece that's also on one of your Substacks, I think. The end of the transgender craze is near. And they cite all sorts of examples from both the United States and Europe saying everybody's woken up to how insane this is. And it is ending soon. Not soon enough.
We're going to do a late night joke off. We haven't done that in a while. Where
yes.
A handful of the late night comics all did jokes about the TikTok ban. And we'll see how they compare. And then we've got some actual info on the TikTok ban and where it's headed. And the Senate may come up, Schumer may come up with ways to not even bring it to a vote, like not even bring it to the floor, and it just disappears. Seems like a...
Because he's a agent of the Chinese communists?
I don't quite understand what's going on there.
He doesn't have a sincere bone in his ancient body, so I always suspect malice.
But anyway, we got a lot of different stuff on the way. Hope you can stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Next segment, a late night joke off about TikTok and the latest wrinkles in the whole TikTok
thing. All right. That's enough of you. Real Jack, too much blah, 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 in my opinion. I prefer AI Jack.
As a guy in the media, a politics guy, student of history, and as the son of a farmer, guys, I can see how this thing is playing out. I can read the writing on the wall and this whole thing, this whole asinine experiment in a self-governing, self-regulating, and self-sustaining participatory democracy is nothing but a giant Ponzi scheme. I mean, take a look around, guys. We're watching the most lackluster generation who's ever walked the face of the earth getting ready to step into the big leagues and take the reins of government. And I've had enough. I've been a good sport. I played fair and stayed true blue to my home team way longer than anyone else has.
You're about to announce that you're a communist.
Enough, man. Oh, I am?
I'm out. I'm done. I'm over it. And for those reasons, and a whole buttload more that I won't bore you with, I've officially switched teams. I, Jack Armstrong, am now a card-carrying member of the Communist Party.
Oh, jeez. Interesting. So how was that put together? Who put that together and how? It does sound like me. I wouldn't. I don't mean not declaring I'm a communist. There are a number of phrases in there I don't use, but...
Yeah. That was one of our beloved listeners, and I can grab the email to give him credit. He did a handful of things, and I would give that a B for sounding like you. It did, but it was a little flat and didn't have enough, you know, up and down inflection stuff. But he used an app. He did all of it on his phone.
So just a regular person. This isn't like somebody in Silicon Valley who does this for a living. Just a regular person.
Not. Yeah. Regular person on his phone used an app. He used a recording of the show, one of our podcasts, to establish your voice pattern and then typed what he wanted it to say. And excuse me, while it is a B level at this point, by the end of next week, it'll be A+.
Well,
I mean, particularly
hell?
If you have the advanced tools at your fingertips.
Well, yeah, if somebody with the app on their phone with no particular skill at it can do with that. That's the problem. There are going to be people who are really good at it, being hired by governments or militaries or businesses or politicians or whatever. It's weird to hear your own voice saying things you know you never said. That's a weird feeling.
Oh, yeah. That's Tony S., by the way. Well done, Tony. And so, obviously, yeah, it's weird and it's chilling. And the better it gets, the weirder and more chilling it will be. To the point where, because these scams have already begun, I will get a phone call from, you know, one of my daughters, say Kate. I'll get a phone call with Kate's voice telling me, Dad, bad news. I lost my job. Rent is due, blah, blah, blah. Can you Venmo me? I've got a new account because I got hacked, blah, blah, blah. And it'll be her voice. And so I think families are going to have to develop passwords for each other. I mean, a code word, a safe word, like you're, you know, doing S&M in the bedroom or something like that. Strawberry.
I think it's easier just to assume that if a loved one calls you with an emergency, it is AI. If your husband calls and says, I've been in a wreck, send an ambulance, say, don't try to fool me, you ass, and then hang
just
up on
just shout,
him.
Go to hell, and hang up. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Boy, things are getting weird, and they're getting weird fast.
God, I'd say. So
things are getting weird, and they're getting weird fast.
So we mentioned earlier, the State Department put out their report that AI could be a human extinction-level event. I'm reading through that report on how and why. It's pretty interesting. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. God, I'm telling you, it's unsettling to hear your own voice saying you didn't say. It's weird. It does something to your brain.
It was weird for me. I can't imagine how it was for you.
Very strange.
On the other hand, human extinction, the time of the beavers. I mean, how many times have I predicted it? It's time to let the beavers take over.
Yeah.
You know, we came, we saw, we conquered, we screwed up. Bring in the beavers.
It does kind of remind me of that Jerry Seinfeld joke about, he's talking about how when anybody dies, people always say, you know, an untimely. He says, enough of him already. I kind of feel like with human beings, maybe. Enough of us already.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Here's my favorite part about the worthless coffee machine at work.
Oh, here we go. Settle in, Michael. You got any popcorn?
Yeah, this should be good.
It stops working. It says waste bin full. So for some reason, it just won't work. Okay, well, my coffee machine, too. You know, the little pods that go in the back of the machine, if you got that kind, and it fills up and you empty it. But ours is locked. So we lock up our garbage to make sure nobody comes in and steals our garbage. And if there's nobody here with a key, which there never is in the morning, or, you know, when you come to work and you want to have coffee, you can't have any coffee. Mm-hmm. What a lovely design. We lock up our garbage. What if somebody stole it?
Well, it's valuable. It can be sold on the black market as old coffee grounds.
It's an ongoing psychological experiment at the radio station to see if I'll lose my mind if I can't have coffee.
It's going pretty well, too, isn't it, Michael?
It is. It's working. You win. Write your paper. Now give me my coffee back.
Right. So, TikTok banned, divested, passed the House, soon to be brought up for a vote, maybe in the Senate.
Or maybe not.
Well, right, yeah. The serious analysis coming up in a moment or two. But first, it's been a while since we've done a late-night joke-off. We have three comedians joking about the same topic. I, Joe Getty, will grade each joke, and the bottom grade getter, the lowest grade, will be banned from comedy for life. Michael?
The House passed a bill that would essentially ban TikTok. But TikTok is fighting back. Their CEO told users to call their representatives. Yep. Young people are like, first we're losing TikTok, now we have to make a phone call? What is going on?
Well, if you guys are worried about the Chinese gathering data on Americans, wait till you find out who makes the phones.
I don't think we fully understand how crazy these kids are going to go if they kill TikTok. I mean, for teenagers, losing TikTok is a bigger deal than losing your virginity. I'm not kidding either. This is like taking away all their imaginary friends at once. And you know what kids used to do before TikTok? Drugs.
I got three B minuses. I'm not sure this has ever happened before. Hell, y'all get to keep your jobs.
I wish I had a better sense of what TikTok means to people who use it. So those stats we had, remember last year, whatever, the average young person is on it 7 hours a day, which I found impossible to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
I don't know what TikTok...
It's like they're addicted.
Right.
Because they are.
Right. But that's not what bothers us, apparently. I mean, that's not the motivating force. It's the fact that China's stealing the... Because the kids are used, you know, on all kinds of social media that's horrible for us.
Right.
And has almost no benefit whatsoever. And we're not banning it or even talking about it. I want to hear a little bit from this this guy, John Miller, who's on CNN. He used to be in the FBI, and he's talking about the dangers of TikTok, why it needs to be banned.
TikTok has also been accused of key locking, which is following what you're putting in the keyboard, which could lead to passwords, personal messages, and so on. Now, TikTok testified in Congress that they only do that to seek out robots, do debugging, but you can't know for sure because it's a Chinese company.
Okay, so that old thing that all the tech companies say, Tesla says, oh, we have cameras, we could look at you, but we don't. Or, you know, name your tech company. We have microphones, we could listen to you, but we don't. And we always find out that they do.
Fool me 50,000 times, shame on me.
And that's with American companies, let alone the Chinese Communist Party, who's hell-bent on destroying America. Let's hear more from John Miller.
What they do with that information when the Chinese government, from an intelligence standpoint, a hostile foreign power, wants it. And the problem there is they may represent that we're not a government agency, we don't share that, but there's a 2017 law in China that says, and I quote now, all organizations and citizens shall support, assist, and cooperate with the national intelligence efforts, meaning if the government asks for a flow of data, all of it or some of it or one individual person, the answer no from a company is not an option.
Yeah, you're really behind on the whole China thing if you didn't already know that.
It's amazing how many people are behind, though, particularly young people. By young, I'm not talking about 13-year-olds, like post-Cold War kids.
There's no such thing as a Chinese company that's separate from the Chinese Communist Party. If they find some use in your company, they will extract it.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. At every single opportunity. If they haven't, it's just because they haven't discovered a use for it yet.
Now, this is kind of long, but this is John Miller explaining what they're going to do with all this harvested data and what the Communist Party would, what they're trying to cultivate here.
But I think if you look at it in the bigger picture, and this is really important to consider, let's just not look at TikTok in a vacuum. Look at the activities of the Chinese government and its intelligence services. In 2014, they hacked the U.S. government's Office of Personnel Management. They stole 4.2 million sets of data, including the records of every government employee with a security clearance from secret to top secret to higher. Now that is a goldmine of information. Then they allegedly hacked the Anthem Health provider records and got 7.2 million records, which gave them a baseline of government employees, which Anthem did health for the federal government, that they could use to compare those records, correlate them, make sure that they had the right people when they were doing a profile. Imagine a U.S. intelligence asset, a CIA agent, an intelligence officer arriving in China, putting down a passport, and a red light goes on to the Chinese intelligence service, says, here's who comes in. This person has a security clearance. We have correlated and disambiguated his record. Here's his entire life story. And then add into that, here's his browsing history. Right. Here's his TikTok history. Here's his keystrokes. They're digging and digging and digging. Remember, there's this Volt Typhoon program that China is running, which is literally hacking into government critical infrastructure across the country. So when it comes to collecting information and using it for purposes that we wouldn't like, this is a full-time occupation for the Chinese government. And TikTok as a private company is a potential vulnerability there.
Wow. John Miller's too good for CNN. That was terrific.
I'm going to start using the word disambiguating more often.
Or disambiguated. Yeah, Jack, you disambiguated the topic for us, and I appreciate it. Note to self. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, well, like we've been saying, it's a glass Trojan horse TikTok. You can see inside it. We know what's inside it. Yet we still let it in.
Yeah, it's idiotic. There are objections to the ban coming from some odd quarters. This is just an excuse to get Rumble or whatever. No,
Rumble.
No, it's a well-established law and tradition that if a company is owned by a hostile foreign power, you can make them not own it anymore. And this is such a direct pipeline to the minds of American young people. It's horrific that it's existed as long as it has. I need to study more carefully Mike Lee's objection to it because he was a no vote. I have a feeling it has to do with the particulars. And this is an old tradition in politics. Mike Lee was against stopping the communist infiltration. No, he probably has an objection to the way it's worded, or he thinks it grants the executive branch too much power to decide that sort of thing. But and I grant you there may be, you know, those details that are wrong. I haven't read the thing. But in principle, no, nobody's doing it so they can get rid of Donald Trump's Truth Social or anything like that. That's not it.
And TikTok, if it's sold to another company, the question is whether or not TikTok will still have the same algorithm. It's hard to imagine that the CCP would allow that technology to become part of an American company.
Yeah, I don't know enough to comment intelligently about this. That might also disclose exactly what the CCP has been doing and how. If you really let people under the hood. But again, me commenting on algorithms is just a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, this is short because I thought this was really good. This was from ABC News last night about the difference between TikTok in China and in the United States. 54 there, Michael.
In China, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube are banned completely. And the version of TikTok available over there is much different from what we get here. Listen to how a former Google executive describes what kids see on the Chinese version of TikTok.
They show you science experiments you can do at home, museum exhibits, patriotism videos, and educational videos.
Hilarious.
And they make their domestic version a spinach version of TikTok, while they ship the opium version to the rest of the world.
Yeah. And
well,
so it's an education tool and a patriotism tool in China. It's the exact opposite in the United States. And by the way, China doesn't allow YouTube or Instagram or Facebook. And then David Muir on ABC News said, that is something more people need to realize. I thought, well, if you've been paying attention at all, you realize it. But most people aren't, so.
You know what I think delayed serious scrutiny of TikTok for years was Donald Trump coming out and saying we should ban this.
You're right. You're right. Like everything else, school closures or whatever, there's way too much media reflection of Donald Trump wants to ban TikTok. Well, then I'm okay with it.
Up with TikTok. It's the best thing ever.
And he tried to ban it in 2020, and the courts shut him down because the president probably shouldn't be able to on his own ban something like that. But he wanted to ban it, and I'll bet you're right. So the media's kind of paying attention was, well, yeah, we got to fight Trump.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. The more you look at it, the more astonishing it is it's existed as long as it has. That
oh,
we've
yeah.
allowed it. We're a stupid superpower.
So Trump tried to ban it, and then the court stopped him in 2020. TikTok started in 2016, 4 years into a company, a startup company in 2016. In 4 years, it was recognized at the highest levels that this is a danger to the most powerful country on earth. That's amazing that you can, you know, the modern world and tech, that anything can happen that fast.
And then 4 years later, we're still dithering.
Right, and may not ban it. Mark Halperin's writing today in his newsletter, although he doesn't get to the why the way I wish he would, that there are more ways the Senate can avoid voting on this and delay it than there are for it to actually come to a vote and pass. Why is the Senate so hesitant to vote it? Is because of all the lobbying? The TikTok's just spread around enough money? Because you don't have to spread around a heck of a lot of money in a 50-50 Senate to stop something from passing.
Right. Especially because you have to overcome the filibuster. Unless they come up with rock solid persuasive ideas, I am just going to assume they put bribes over country. And not just bribes over country, but bribes being bribed to support our greatest nemesis.
For something that's damaging anyway. I mean, if it was like a healthy food and educational tool and a spy, but it's not. I mean, it's horrible for kids.
It's perverting and dulling the minds of our young people as it, attempts to bring down the country.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose-lose. Do you think Rand Paul is being completely sincere in his free speech arguments?
I haven't heard him articulate them in a way I find persuasive.
Well, I don't mean whether he's right or wrong. Just do you think that that's his actual issue and he's not just...
I don't know. I'm horrified by his... I want to be fair here. I don't want to, this is not Twitter. Speaking of social media, I don't want to cast aspersions if they're not due. I can't imagine. I don't know. No. I'm confused and disturbed.
I know if you live next to him, he's going to leave his lawn clippings on your side of the fence.
Well, we'll see how long that lasts.
As soon as he turns his back, I'm going to blindside him.
Wow.
That's how you handle disputes there. Like that.
Hey, this is a nutty idea because there's so much to talk about, but we got so many interesting and thought-provoking emails over the last 24 hours. You feel like a little bonus mailbag, maybe?
That'd be awesome. That and other things on the way. Stay here.
All right.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
A future where nobody has to work anymore, thanks to artificial intelligence. Will that destroy the world? That is a part of a report coming out from the government. Maybe we'll talk about that in coming hours.
Yeah, I would love to. As I look at the various emails I want to include here in bonus mailbag, something we ought to do a show just entirely reading emails and discussing them. Because we have so many people who are clever, insightful, have unique experiences, fields of endeavor, whatever. And it would be easy. Maybe we'll do that someday.
Dear Armstrong and Getty, what was that song that you played at 5:45?
No, not everybody is those things I just said, but okay. There are quite a few folks. Anyway, so a little bonus mailbag. You can drop us a line anytime you want, mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. Keep it as concise as you can, please, because we get a lot of them. But Henry says, I'm glad to hear your recognition of the colonization of the U.S. He's been sending emails on the same theme. Hopefully more folks will start viewing the crisis in the same light. If the USA started sending millions of our citizens to other countries, it'd be portrayed as an international crime of some sort, trying to colonize them.
Yeah, so. The problem with that is it's that whole oppressor-oppressed thing. And, of course, if we started showing up other places, we're the oppressor. But right. If the oppressed is showing up here, well, can you blame them?
Pat in the Hood with an interesting insight. Jack was literally ready to tear the head off his son's orthodontist for upselling a braces solution, yet was fine as his son's teacher upsold him on his boy's education. Why are they preparing the students for college, the paid version of their education? How about they focus on graduating young people competent in the fundamentals of reading, writing, and arithmetic?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I agree with him on, schools ought to be teaching instead of indoctrinizing and sexualizing children. But I kind of like his idea of education being an upselling scam right now, because all the teachers believe in college because they're products of college.
Oh, right.
And there's certainly benefits of it, but everybody's kind of been duped into this idea that you need to, if you're going to be a real human being, you need to go to college.
Oh, that message is loud as loud can be, because I did the going into junior high orientation a week ago and the going into high school orientation a week ago with both my kids. And they were all about, so you can get into college, so you can get to college. This will help you with college. Just as obviously that's what any good, wants to be successful person would do.
Right.
And yes,
no
you're right.
Matter how ridiculously expensive it becomes.
Or how worthless
right.
Worthless degrees turn out to be.
Right, right. Let's see. It bummed me out yesterday. You remind us it was 4 years ago the government closed us down because of COVID. I was bummed the whole day. How did we ever let that happen? Freedom's taken away in the name of safety. Sad thing is, I'll think 51% of the nation would let the government do it again. That's rich and beautiful green Oregon.
Absolutely would. Yep.
I would agree with you, Rich. Let's see. We mentioned a line from the poem Ozymandias by Shelley, right? Jose writes, sirs, your correspondent who praised this part of the poem got it exactly wrong. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, in despair. Well, the real meaning comes in the denouement in the next three lines. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare. The lone and level sands stretch far away. In my opinion, this is the most powerful poetic indictment of arrogance and hubris ever written. The whole point of students reciting the poem is telling them to get over themselves. It's an important lesson for teenagers. That's a good point. That's why it's part of classical education and why you're not going to hear it in the modern day, because the idea is kids know all, they need to be empowered, they don't need their parents, they should be in charge of their own medical decisions, etc.
That kind of reminds me, for some reason, the three-word motto at West Point has been replaced with a long paragraph, and we can tell you about that in hour three. It's annoying.
Agreed.
Why did they do that? If you miss a segment or an hour, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.